Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Halala Show's season 4 mix number
4.
4. Welcome back to Halala Show.
Yeah. Did you guys enjoy our mixes last week?
Yeah.
We sure did.
I mean, we're a sponsored podcast now.
I know.
Remember when we used to make cold calls and go to meetings that
to
rejected
offices?
Us? They come to us now. Right? They come to us
but
now.
I do remember. I really cannot forget that one meeting where after the meeting, we were like, dude, I feel like we're going to get it. I feel like this is it.
And then we didn't get it. Dude, it felt so good. I remember that brand too. I'm not going to list. I'm not going to say the name, but I remember that brand. And guess what? They're advertising on podcasts now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the Halala Show, everyone. If it's your first time here, you can see that we're very vengeful. You know, we think about the past a lot, but we also
we
like it cold. But we talk some. We do some fun stuff here. Tell them about the podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff today, but we're gonna start with our segment called "Where You Been," where we basically just update you on where we've been, you know, going and what we've been eating and. For some reason, people like to consume that shit. Okay. So we like it too. That's why we're going to talk about that. And then we have our TTs for today, which is going to be interesting. Scrumptious.
Yes. Also our important. TTs, AKA the trending topics. We have a couple on the agenda for users of Twitter. You might have noticed a big change on your timeline, or at least you've probably seen people retweeting or liking tweets either aimed at Elon Musk, aimed towards fighting Elon Musk or supporting Elon Musk or from Elon Musk himself, because Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter finally went through. He paid like, what, $40-something billion for the company. Yeah. He fired like half the employees. And we're talking about a couple things about that, but mainly about verification on Twitter and how Elon Musk and his team is now charging $8 to be verified on Twitter, you know, that blue check mark that is so coveted by many people. So we'll talk about that, the implications of that. What does it mean or what does it not mean? If on the other hand, is that we also have something that Rika sent to me that I also kind of just was made aware of recently, the heterosexual bill, heterosexual act. So we'll talk about that and why it is simply. And I don't know how to state it. It's ridiculous.
I know. We're going to talk about it in full in a little bit. But basically, it was filed by Manila Representative Benny Abante. And I don't know about your thoughts, but we do have some thoughts about it. And you guys can look it up, too, before listening to our, you know, our conversation. You can guys pause this and then look it up first if you want more information about it.
Abante, ironic, right?
I know.
And then the last TT is the fight that broke out during a basketball game between Jose Rizal University and Benilde in the what basketball? NCAA basketball league, or that league. And there was a big fight, especially on the end of JRU's John Amores, who, if you've seen the video, you already know what we're talking about. But basically, he ran around and punched everybody and started a big fight. And then there's questions about his history as well. So we'll discuss that. And since we've been kind of MIA because of our sponsored mixes, we have an odd diva to kind of beef up the mix today. And this one is really interesting. For fans of the metaverse,
Black Mirror,
virtual gaming, and even anime in some sort of some sort, we will discuss that later on about a headset that has the potential to do something really bad to you. Bad.
And all permanent.
Right? Yeah. So if you want to skip to any of the TTs or any of the Oddiba, just make sure you click on the timestamp. But we will begin with where you been. And I think I started last week. So do you want to go first?
Yes.
Okay, where you been?
So the past week has just been me going to class and stressing out about class. But interestingly enough, last Friday, you know how we have our news days? And those are like big days for us because we literally emulate the newsroom. So we go out, you know, we interview people. Literally, you're a journalist. Mm-hmm. And it's like our practice, you know, in case we do become a journalist in the future. So it's a really enriching experience. And it's also very interesting because last week my role was a news reader. So basically I read out news bulletins on the radio, like our radio in the campus. So it was pretty cool. And I did get some feedback, interesting feedback from my professor who was very, I like how he did my feedback because obviously he knows that my background is in radio and I do have some sort of like experience when it comes to that. But he did encourage me to kind of like up it up a little bit more. You know what I mean? Yung parang never niya sinabi sa akin na, oh, you're good. You're done. You know, that's really great. It's like always step it up a little bit or try to explore more ways to kind deliver. Of like read the, yeah, deliver the news and stuff like that, which I thought was like, yeah, that makes so much sense.
What kind of news did you talk about? I mean, just like, what is it?
So basically, the news that's coming from the newsroom, so reporters from our class, we're encouraged to do news in Bristol. So very local news, very, you know what I mean? Like your kapitbahay, you know, mm-hmm. the person in the street, things that they experience on a daily basis here in Bristol compared to national news. But just in case, because we put out bulletins, like news bulletins, like very short, like bam, bam, bam news every half hour. So sometimes we would have to report on national news as well and like news that's happening around the world, basically.
Is it live or online or like how do people listen to you?
Oh, no. This is like in the university, like in our class. But right. I do believe that at one point we're going to be online.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyway, I would have to update you on that. But right now it's like, you know, in the university, we mm-hmm. can only hear it. We're the only ones who can hear it really.
Just but for your class, still, right? But yeah, but it's played back to your whole class or what?
Yeah, it's like in the newsroom, like people can actually hear you. And it's so nerve-wracking because your professor is there, all of your classmates are there. And it's like, my thoughts were, I'm just going to do it the way I do it before, you know what I mean?
Like
hindi ako nang papasikat or whatever. I just kind of have this thing that I know how to express myself on air. Mm-hmm. So, which is really, it's so nerve-wracking, but also it felt like I was home. Yeah. I was in a radio booth, dude. Like all the sliders, all the buttons, you know, I have a computer in front of me, like just how we did it in our job before. Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like, damn, I'm home.
I miss that
all the time. And I know you get me because there is this feeling of fear right before you go on air. But once you're on air, it's like
before you push the button, gone. Right? Before you push
that lights up the
on-air light. I feel you.
Yeah, but you know, I love my feeling of parang once you press the button, you're like, you're done. You're like, you're just flowing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and felt so at home. I was at home. So
that's nice.
I just realized like, this is really what I wanted to do the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like I found it. Even though it's like a different aspect compared to what I've been doing before. Right. So that was really interesting. And, it was also fun because Ryan visited me here in Bristol, and then on Saturday we went to a climbing gym, which was so nice because the climbing gym was actually inside an abandoned church. So it's a church. So the climbing gym is called the church. And then so basically it looked like a church outside, but when you go inside there are like walls.
Also, it's not an but it It's like an abandoned church, or it just got renovated?
Like,
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it got renovated, and I saw that they also kind of like preserved some of the like pillars from the church. I seen like it was covered in glass and stuff. So it's not like they tore down inside of the church. They built around the whole structure. So that was really nice. It doesn't seem like, you know, they kind of like change things to make it become a good gym. It's just that they put a climbing gym inside. Mm. And even the chairs, because they have a cafe on the second floor, even the chairs are like the pews of the church.
Right,
before.
Right.
Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, it was really nice.
I have a slogan for them.
What is it?
Feel closer to Jesus. Because you climb, right?
You're climbing high. Right.
I mean, yeah. It makes sense. They didn't take the opportunity to make that?
No, man. I think that's not going to rub off in the right way.
Dude, they have the pews. They already have the pews, bro. It's not like you're throwing Bibles or burning Bibles. It's like a fun joke.
I know. But you know what? I should really recommend that to the people.
It's called the church, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
It's called the church. Come on.
It's so cool though. And they were really friendly and sobrang lupit na mga tao in there. Like they would have like people climbing on the ceiling. You know what I mean? Like you're hanging. You're not like
walang ropes? They're free walls.
No, there are ropes. There are ropes. Okay, there are ropes. But there would be times where the wall would be already like you would be
parallel to the ground.
Yeah, you'll be parallel to the ground.
Like Spider-Man.
And there would be, I don't know what you call it, but there would be times where you would have to hook up on the ceiling. You know what I mean? So you won't fall. But still, that type of like core strength and upper body strength that I don't have, like people just do it so easily.
Climbers have the best bodies.
Yeah.
My cousin is a climbing instructor. Mm-hmm. Dude, he's so like, his forearms are crazy.
I know.
You know, like it's veiny like forearms, like because they have to hang, like they really have to hang on rocks with like fingers. Mm-hmm. Imagine that, like hanging your whole body on two fingers, for example. Yeah. It's bananas.
It's crazy. And then it's so weird because sometimes you would see people like in their office clothes and stuff. And then you didn't know that they're actually waiting to climb. Like they would climb in like their jeans or like office attire. You know what I mean? It's something that's really for everybody. Kind of makes you realize it's really for everybody because there were people who were older there. Those were like really young, like grade school kids and stuff. So that was a really nice experience. And then at night, I tried fish and chips finally, like my first ever proper fish and chips. At this place called Real Soul. And the person at the counter, shout out to you, I don't know your name, but he was very nice and very friendly to a lot of people. And it made the experience of, you know, eating my first plate of fish and chips even better. And then after that, we went to a pub somewhere in Bristol. I honestly don't know because we just took a bus and then we walked at a very sketchy place at one point, but then we reached a really nice pub at the end of that. Okay. So I went out with one of my classmates, Charlotte.
Oh, there we go again, Charlotte.
I know she is real. I posted a photo.
I saw that.
People were commenting and messaging me like, "Oh, Charlotte's real. She's not made up. She's made up." So I met up with a couple of classmates, you know, with their friends and girlfriends, and Ryan was with us. We drank a couple of beers, which was honestly, I just think that it's really expensive to drink out here. Because I spent like £6 for a pint.
That's one glass, right? A pint?
One glass, yeah. Damn. Which, I mean, like,
400 pesos now. Almost 400 pesos. Yeah.
I mean,
that's a bucket here.
I know. It's what do you call that? The one that comes from the pipe. Draft.
Draft,
yeah. On so it's tap. Draft beer on tap. So I'm guessing it's like, you know, the quality is better, but still I also got a G&T. And then after that, we went home. It was pretty nice. And then the next day, because, you know, Christmas time is here. There was a Christmas market in the city center here in Bristol. And if you guys have, I don't know if you'd be in the area, you guys visit that, because there's actually a bunch of Christmas markets already set up all around the UK because it's like a thing. Kumbaga parang sa atin, di ba? Parang there are Christmas, yeah, Burr months. There are Christmas markets also, I believe, tama ba? Like in malls?
Meron na. Dude, yeah, meron they got Christmas trees and shit here
everywhere.
Already. Everywhere.
Yeah, like nagbebenta na ng bibingka, ng puto bumbong and everything. So it's kind of like the same here. We went to the Christmas market. It was very like everything that you see on TV when it comes to Western Christmas. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, like the Hallmark fudge. Movies?
Yeah, like fudge and hot chocolate and cider and mulled wine and shit like that. Like everything was there and I was just amazed at everything. And nice. It was really nice. We got sausages, Hungarian sausages and hot chocolate for lunch. So it's really nice. And then Ryan went home, had a couple of classes this week. I was late on a Monday, which was wow.
What's what there, a great... Is there punishment for being late? No, right?
No,
it's college,
no,
right?
Actually, no right? It's college. Yeah. You don't get to consume the lecture.
Knowledge, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Makes sense.
The knowledge. Mm. So there. And then that's it, really. It was raining the whole week. But... Oh. I've been rewatching Mindhunter. I rewatched the first season because I wanted to watch the second season now up on Netflix. So that was pretty interesting.
You have the UK Netflix catalog or what?
I think so because here we have Young Sheldon.
Okay, yeah, they don't have that here.
I didn't have Young Sheldon. Mm-hmm. So I've been also rewatching. No, actually I've been watching Young Sheldon and then Mindhunter. Oh, finally, I watched The Princess Switch.
Oh, Vanessa Hudgens?
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah,
isn't there a part two?
There's a part three, dude.
Oh, there's a part three?
Yeah, it's like the kissing booth. It never ends. Well,
I knew kissing booth had three, but I didn't know Princess. So they switched three times?
I think so. I honestly, the second movie, I was thinking, how are they going to switch again? Good. Everybody knows that they switched already.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a twist. It's actually a really nice series, like movie series.
Oh, so you watch all three?
No, not yet. I only watched the first and second one. I only found out about the third one yesterday because it popped out on my Netflix page.
Recommended? Okay. Yeah. Cool.
But dude, you guys have to watch Mindhunter. It's just so, everything is so dark. Honestly, the only problem I have with Mindhunter, the series, it's like they don't have the budget for lights. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's like everything is just so dark. Like I get it, but it's just, alam mo parang, it's so unnecessarily dark.
maybe it's just their theme. Like that's just the peg that they're going for. You know?
What do you mean? Low brightness?
Yeah, squinting. Squinting audiences.
Oh, you know what? They also have Manifest on Netflix here.
Oh, they have Manifest here too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it.
Fiend. All right. I just came back from watching. It's gonna be spoiler free, but I just watched Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Ooh, did you hear the new Rihanna song?
You know what? I did. And I'll tell you what, before I watched the movie, I listened to the new Rihanna song. Uh-huh. I'll be honest with you. I know you're the biggest fan. I was like, I didn't really like it. But in
what
the
do you mean? What do you, you know what? It doesn't take away from you if you just say it's a nice song.
No, but wait, let me
losing anything by saying it was a nice song.
But in the context of the way it was used in the credits of the movie, very powerful. Mm. And she has another song on the soundtrack, which I didn't know. Like, I don't think it's been released yet. It comes, it comes like in the second half of the credit. So there's actually two Rihanna songs, I don't think they've released the second one. But
as in, nabuhay ako, nabuhay. I was reborn that day when that song came out, and I was like, I was waiting for it to come out, and I was on the bus and I was listening to it for the first time, and I was crying,
you feel
like
it?
Tears.
You feeling it?
Tears. I feel it. Yeah, okay, dude. Okay. It's Rihanna.
It's a little slow for me.
Rihanna hasn't released. But if you do, honestly, I had to look it up why she made the song and like what's it for.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for me to get the whole
picture. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why they
it really captures the kind of the feelings that you get, especially because the whole movie, I mean, spoiler free, but the whole movie it's very emotionally charged because,
yeah,
you know, we all know Chadwick Boseman died. So the film mm-hmm. tackles that really well. I think they honor his memory, like not just mm-hmm. The Aww. Character of T'Challa, but the actual actor, right? Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
They did really well in portraying how they handled the death, how the grief mm-hmm. on screen, as well as the grief in real life. I think you kind of feel it through the acting. And the villain, you've seen him in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler, but the villain, his name is Namor or Namor. Some mm-hmm. people say Namor. Namor is how he says it in the film. He's a great villain. It's a great mm-hmm. villain. Really cool. Like, he's a really cool character in general. His fight scenes yeah. are dope. I think I'll save my kind of like my review of it because reviewing it would kind of give away too much. But they introduce new characters. And Angela Bassett, who plays the queen, the mom of yeah. Shuri, right? Yeah. She is fucking like the best in that movie.
Oh,
her
yeah.
and Danai Gurira, the one who plays Okoye.
Yeah.
Okoye, mm-hmm. Michonne from The Walking Dead. Those two
They're
really
so badass.
Those two really like steal the show, in my opinion. Like, the acting is just really, really good. Even Letitia Wright, the Shuri, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know she got a lot of flack for being an anti. I don't know if you heard about that, right? She was like an anti-vaxxer. There's a lot of issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a lot of issues going on with her during the filming. But cool. I think she killed it as well, like in the movie. Like, she was so good. So I would recommend it. I think it's the second best Phase 4 movie behind Spider-Man. I also really like Doctor Strange, though, even though a lot of people didn't really like that one so much, but it's between.
I fell asleep.
Oh, maybe you'll like Wakanda Forever. Good movie.
Yeah, maybe.
But other movies that I could recommend in case you don't want to go to the theater that is already available online, you know, on streaming, maybe not Netflix, but it's available online. One movie that I watched was Deadstream. Deadstream, because it's still kind of reeling from the Halloween season, so just catching up on some thriller horror movies. And Deadstream was actually a really good. I thought it was really good. But it's like horror comedy. It's like a horror comedy, and it's about this YouTuber who goes to a haunted spot, a haunted house, okay. and he live streams himself in the haunted house doing like challenges and just kind of feeding to his live stream audience. And it's really like, it's creepy and it's funny and it's gross. I would recommend it if you're a fan of horror comedy.
You ended with gross.
Yeah, it's gross. It's freaking gross. Like, there's some pretty like gnarly, gross out scenes in that movie, but it's really good. I liked it. Deadstream. It's called Deadstream, which didn't get a lot of, like, I only saw it on TikTok. So there's this TikToker, I don't know his name, he listed his top 10 horror movies of the year, and Deadstream was like number 8. I'd watched almost every single one on the top 10 except for Deadstream, and then another one which was number 1 on his list, and I was so disappointed at, because I watched it as well. It's called Speak No Evil, which has one of the like the craziest endings I've seen in a movie ever. But also, the lead up to it was a little too slow for me. And then you just find yourself annoyed at the main character so much that at the end, I didn't really care. No matter how shocking the ending was, it was a frustrating movie to watch. However, some people really liked it. It's like a slow burn. You liked Hereditary, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't really like Hereditary that much.
You think because it's slow?
I thought Hereditary took too long to get going. You know what I mean? Like, until the little girl's head gets chopped off in the Hereditary, right? Like, when she's in the car. Like,
spoiler!
But up until then, I was so bored that when that finally happened, I was like, oh, something's finally happening. And then I kind of was like, it still took too long to get to where it was going. Although I did like the ending of Hereditary. And it's also like Midsommar, like that kind of slow burn.
Midsommar for me
was
too slow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people who like Midsommar would probably love Speak No Evil, but Midsommar was so boring.
Yeah, it's a type of thing that if they made it a little bit shorter, it would have justified the type of ending that they had.
Exactly.
But if it was that long and then that's the ending, I'm like, nah, dude, that's too much for that type of ending.
Yeah, they do the same thing here where they play like chilling music over mundane things. And I'm like, that doesn't really, cool, you're trying to scare us with music. But it doesn't make sense. Like, there's one scene in the movie, the Speak No Evil, the girl's just, lady's just washing dishes, and then they have this like ominous music.
Yeah.
And nothing happens. Honestly, what the fuck? So
it's
weird.
The type of thing that I thought, Don't Worry, Darling, honestly, if it went just a little bit longer, I would think that it's a crap movie, because there were times where people are like, what? Oh, well, me. I was like, what's happening? But they kind of like, they timed it perfectly, or maybe almost at the edge na parang malapit na ako mabore, but buti na lang. Buti na lang the climax kind of like came in already, so.
Wait, I forgot. Did you like, no, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm about to.
I did.
You liked it? Okay.
I like Don't Worry, Darling. It kept me at the edge of my seat. And
have you watched Host?
Not yet.
That movie's fucking, for me, that movie is scary.
Did you watch Smile already?
I did watch Smile. Did you watch Smile?
They did. No, not yet. Because they did say that if you liked Hereditary, this is like the new Hereditary.
Oh, Smile?
Yeah.
I like Smile better than Hereditary. 100%. Yeah. Like, it was, but Smile. Oh, yeah. I forgot that. It's been a while since we did our last mix. I was still in the States, right?
Yeah.
Our last regular mix. Oh, that's why. Then I watched Smile and Barbarian recently as well to add on to those horror movies. And I like Barbarian better, but Smile was also very good. I just thought that they relied too much on jump scares, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I like jump scares, but if it's just jump scare after jump scare after jump scare, then you kind of get used to it, or you anticipate too much. And it's just like, you know when something's going to come up.
But you know what? The way they PR'd Smile.
Oh, yeah.
It's so ingenious.
For real.
It's so cool. Like, they did it in like TV. A baseball game. They did it in like Good Morning America or something.
Yeah,
like,
people just standing in the background smiling.
Oh, my God. And then the TikTok filter that they have.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Like, I didn't even see
that one. Dude, look it up. Like, they would... Like, people would film, like, let's say their boyfriends or their friends, and they would put like a Beyonce song.
Oh, and then that was another lalabas sa likod.
Something would pop up at their back and they would freak out.
Yeah. Okay, I know that now.
Genius. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, Smile is still pretty solid. It has a unique kind of concept that will make you wonder. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched It Follows?
Yes.
It's kind of like It Follows in the sense that there's a lore behind the like the evil. Because sometimes you watch horror movies and then you're like, it's just, they just exist. The evil exists. In this one, they kind of go into backstory, which also I think leaves room for potential sequels. Although doesn't necessarily have to have a sequel. It still works well on its own. But Smile was solid. But Barbarian, have you heard of Barbarian?
No.
Dude, Hazel really loves that movie. I think she's been like talking all about
it. Is it like one of the fucked up things?
Yeah.
It's pretty much, I know, exclusive to what Hazel watches. No, I'm just kidding.
but it's because Hazel liked Hereditary, right?
Yeah.
But she was the one who
made me watch the movie.
Okay. For those of you wondering, if you're new here, Hazel Hadi, she was our co-DJ at the radio station we worked at. She loves, does she like all horror, or she just really liked Hereditary?
I think she just really likes Hereditary.
Okay.
And I think she's also a fan of Toni Collette.
Okay. Yeah, Barbarian was also very good. Watch the trailer. Actually, don't watch the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, just watch. Go into it blind. Because I think it works better that way, but Barbarian was also very good. So anyway, those are the movies that I watched last week. I shared this on my solo podcast, but I just wanted to share it here because I was so frustrated. Remember we were talking about escape rooms a couple mixes ago?
Yeah.
And so we did an escape room, Mystery Manila. It's called Alien Invasion. And it was like the worst escape room experience I ever had because the clues were fucking unsolvable, bro. Like they were unsolvable to the point, like even after you ask for, because you can ask for clues, right? During these game rooms. Like after the dude gave me the clue, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
Was that pleasurable for you?
Or? It was, I was fucking livid.
No, dude, it's...
Because when it comes to escape rooms, I don't mind missing the clues as long as if somebody explains the clues, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I wish I saw that, but I get it now. But for this,
because that's a pleasure in escape rooms.
Yeah, like escape rooms.
Pull back, like kind of like getting lost for a little bit. And then when you are given a clue, you're like, you can breathe a little bit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. This
but
was
if it's just all pushback, then what's the point?
Oh my God, dude. It was so frustrating. I was like, this is so dumb. Anyway, I just wanted to like, if you want to listen to my whole rant on that, just listen to my other podcast. But it was just, I do not recommend that room. Mystery Manila, Alien Invasion. I don't recommend it at all. But the Debbie's doll of Mystery Manila was pretty solid when I did it years ago. I'm just
do this alone? Or
no, I went with Marissa. But dude, like, it was just okay. It was just like I asked the game master, right? How many people have solved Alien Invasion without asking for a clue? I asked him and he said zero.
Oh, wow.
That means it was made to be unsolvable without asking for help, which to me like is not the sign of a good game room. No, like, you know what I mean? Like, and then the clues that we asked for, I asked like how many people ask for clues. He said 90% of people asked for clues on the ones that we were stuck on. So it's just like, that's so, it was so annoying. Anyway, that's kind of my week. And oh, last thing. We went to Season Pass, bro. You love Season Pass.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my first time to actually go. Cause,
Isn't you told, it cool?
Yeah, dude, it's the same. I mean, you've been right.
Mm-hmm.
So Season Pass, in case you don't know what that is, we've discussed it here before. It's like, how would you describe it, Rika G? Parang ukay, but
it's like a
high end.
Yeah, basically it's like a vintage shop.
Vintage clothes,
they do,
yes.
Yeah, so they do the shopping for you. They go around, you know, the Philippines, I guess, to like get these curated vintage pieces for you to buy.
Yeah.
And actually, I follow them on Instagram. I follow them a lot on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would actually post about how people are complaining, why it's so expensive and blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, I kind of get their rationale because, you know, like I said, these are curated pieces. It's not like they just get a bunch of stuff and then put it on hangers compared to like, you know, other ukay-ukays that you, I'm not saying that it's bad or better or whatever. It's just that it's different, you know, it's tailored to the audience and customer base that they have.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it. Yeah.
There are some pretty cool finds there. Pretty cool. Yeah. Like, and there's some of them are expensive, bro.
Oh yeah.
Like you're paying a premium and I know it's like a semi joke, but you're paying a premium to look like you didn't spend much on your clothes.
Uh-huh. You know, and I think that's like, that's an aesthetic right now that is. A lot of people want. Like Mary Justin Bieber, you know what I mean?
I was there ahead of that curve. I've been like that since birth, right?
Yeah.
I've been, you know me, man. I feel like I
mismatched
feel like
key, socks, anybody?
Rika G, low key, I'm a trendsetter, man. Dude, what's everyone's favorite footwear now, Rika G? What is everyone?
Crocs.
Who was wearing Crocs in the booth when all of the student jocks would make fun of me?
Unfortunately, it was you.
Dude, I was wearing Crocs. All the student jocks who were like 18, 19, whatever, were making fun of me. And now all of them wear Crocs. Little fuckers. Dude, I saw one person who would make fun of my Crocs all the time. And then I found out that they were like posting for Crocs. I was like, what a bunch of hullabaloo, friend. I was like, no way. You sold your soul to the devil. You know, I would have done that for free. Anyway,
season pass, say that.
season pass was dope. And go check them out on Instagram, Season Pass PH. They have,
I suggest it's a really nice, and it's also a really nice, like, date idea.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because they have really cool pieces and they don't just have clothes, they have like other stuff as well, like vintage.
Bags,
cameras, bags.
Like, I bought a cap and a shirt. Yeah. So would recommend. They'll bring a bigger budget than what you would normally bring to, like, you know, yeah, a chenge or an ukay that's, mm-hmm. you know, where everything is 40 pesos, 50 pesos. This is like, just to give you a picture, like, you won't probably find anything that you'll, that's good under 400, for example. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, bring at least 1,000, I think, if you want to go mm-hmm. check it out.
I think it really depends on how you style it. Because on the store, like on the hanger, it kind of seems like, let's say, it's a little simple. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you do style it well, then it can really look like, you know, it's your own personal style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me, man. I have gout again. So, woo!
What's new,
man? I took some meds, but man, yeah, gout, diabetes, gout. We're old. Yay! When we started this podcast, I didn't have any gout flares.
We didn't have anything.
For real. Well, I had gout, but I didn't have any flares. Like, dude, yeah. I've flared up 3 times mm-hmm. in the last 2 months, which means, according to the internet, I have to go see a doctor, but according to the internet, it means that I have to bite the bullet and go on, what do you call it? Medication, like daily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a scary like thought to me. Meds. Yeah. Maintenance meds.
You know what? I was listening to this one podcast that was talking about how there's this one US president who, for some reason, like had like kind of like, parang basta nakasakit siya in the middle of a tree planting ceremony and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about how that must have been so, that must have felt like your body is betraying you. And I feel like that is the thing. Like, I feel like we have to get ready that at one point our bodies will just kind of like give up, because that's natural. When you grow old, there will be times where, you know, you can't run as long anymore, or you can't, you know, you can't swim as far anymore. And I feel like it's a matter of just your mindset. About
you're almost 30, right?
Yeah.
Almost, yeah, so dude, wait for it.
I get it. Because like, I feel like I kind of feel it now that, you know, dude, I can't train as hard anymore. Oh, although I feel like there are stuff out there that you can take that's not as harmful to your body, let's say, as, you know, like shots. What do you call those? Like bodybuilders?
Steroids, you mean?
Yeah, steroids and stuff. Steroids. Like, you know, like B complex that will give you more energy and stabilize your mood.
I mean, there's
like
a lot of supplements which are good for you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of research done on, well, whey protein.
Yeah. But BCAAs. I think the best is to kind of just like anticipate that at one point, your body is just a growing entity mm-hmm. that, you know, it changes from time to time. And, you know, like, I do know that the media is just, you know, saturated with all these messages that you have to be strong and fit and everything like that every single day.
Yeah. But that's my plan, though. My plan is to get into the best shape of my life by next year.
Yeah. As possible. The best shape as possible.
No, I'm trying to get in my life. I'm trying to challenge myself because I gained a lot of weight in the States and I feel like my knee is really messed. I'm getting my knee surgery in January, finally. Mm-hmm. But just advice to, do you have, okay, for, well, me, let me, I just want to give advice to any younger Leche fans out there who are maybe approaching 30. Mm-hmm. Fucking get your diet in check now. All right. Fucking get ahead of the curve. And also, one thing that I regret not doing enough is being more flexible. Like stretch it. Because, dude, my
flexibility
body,
is key.
Oh really. My God, dude. I wake up not sore, but I wake up stiff. Like, you know what I mean? Like my body, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's just that for me, the advice that I want to give like to younger Leche fans out there, and I just saw this online actually, because you know how there are a lot of trends already, you know, like the big butt, what do you call that? Like the Coca-Cola body or like the model's body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it would always, like in the media, it would always change. Like every year there's this trend that people want to get on, and you don't have to feel like you have to get on that trend. Because right now the trend is I forgot what it's called, but it's
the sick looking one you're talking about?
Yeah, the sick looking one. Yeah,
I saw that.
Emma Chamberlain kind of type of body. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to remember that these are just like individual people and people in the spotlight. Like, it's different from the people that's right next to you and your own body. Like, don't ever feel like you have to get on that trend just for you.
Yeah, just to clarify, Emma Chamberlain, like, her body is her body. Like, it's great the way it is because it works for her.
It is.
But not everyone can achieve that. Ever since. No one can. Not everyone can achieve that. It's crazy.
Like, it's like your body is not a trend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your body is not a trend. It's just, it's your body. You know what I mean? So there.
Yeah,
so I don't know how we got into the diet culture.
I was just complaining about gout. That's why. Anyway. Finn, shall we wapow?
I know. Wapow.
Wapow. All right, let's talk about Twitter. So you might have known there was a lot of drama with Elon Musk buying Twitter. There was he bought it and then he apparently backed out of it. And then finally he went through with it and he actually bought it for $44 billion. And then he fired literally half of the staff of Twitter. He cut half the staff at Twitter. There's a lot of TikToks and stuff.
Wasn't it on email or something?
Some of it, yeah. According to some TikTok videos of former Twitter employees, they were just fired online because they couldn't log into their accounts anymore, and they were just informed via email. But the reason for this, according to Musk on Twitter, he said that Twitter is hemorrhaging millions of dollars every day. Mm-hmm. So he said it was a move to start to make Twitter profitable again. That's kind of one of the reasons that he cut the staff in half. That's his justification for it. And in line with that, he's also working with his current, roster, whoever is left on his Twitter team, to start generating more revenue for Twitter. And one of the things that the main thing we're going to talk about today is that new kind of sign up, $8 sign up fee for what they call Twitter Blue. They've had Twitter Blue already for a few months, which gave you extra features and stuff. But now I think they're going to up the price to $8. And then that will also give you a checkmark, the verified checkmark next to your account. But it does still say, if you click, I just learned this. So if you go on your Twitter app right now and you click on the check mark, you can see that whether the account was verified because they paid $8 or if it was already verified beforehand because they were, notable, because you usually get verification if you're a notable person, if you're a journalist or an entertainer. Sometimes you get verified off the bat, right? Before the whole Elon Musk thing. So you can actually go on Twitter and click on people's check marks and see if they were verified beforehand or if they have or if they're paying $8 a month, which leads people to question now, is verification worth it? Why would people get verified now? Does it mean anything in terms of status anymore? Did it ever mean anything? In your opinion, honestly, are the ramifications of charging money now for a check mark that essentially means nothing, but also could mean something?
Well, for me, it meant something, honestly, because if I saw something on Twitter and it meant something before, not, without the whole $8 thing, it meant something before because if I saw something on Twitter and see that there's a blue check on their account, you know what I mean? I would kind of believe it in some way, or I would actually think that this is, it's a real person. I would think that, there's an actual human being who thinks this way. And then eventually snowball into a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Compared to now when you can pay for a blue check and definitely if you do pay for a blue check and then you say whatever you want to say, it kind of diminishes that feeling that I trust this account. Because if they just paid for it, I mean, how do I know that what you're saying is actually what you really think?
Right, right.
Right?
That's also a good point that you bring up.
Profit.
In terms of since anyone can buy it now, there is a lot of fear and concern regarding people impersonating other people.
Yeah.
Because one of the reasons for verification on most social media platforms, Instagram, wherever, right, YouTube, is that sometimes people are so famous that they have dummy accounts that pretend to be them. Mm-hmm. And one of the concerns was that they would do that. So to kind of shed some light on that. Elon Musk did say, or like his Twitter team did say, that anyone caught impersonating someone who is actually real will get banned immediately, unless the Twitter account says that they are a parody account or whatever, right? Yeah. So there's this one comedian, her name's Kathy Griffin, you might have heard of her, mm-hmm. but she changed her name to Elon Musk on Twitter.
Okay.
But she also had a verified check and she was actually banned on Twitter. Like,
you
immediately
know what?
Banned.
Kathy Griffin is just trying to get banned on a lot of
for
things.
Real.
She's just trying to not be on social media, on TV, anywhere. What is happening? I used to think that she was so funny. She was on CNN, right?
And yeah, like, yeah, we had that issue too.
Yeah.
We talked about her before too, as another mix way back.
Yeah.
But I get
banned.
But I get like the point that she was trying to make. Obviously, it was made clear that Elon Musk won't stand for that. But it also is kind of scary because you know who Elon Musk is, right? So obviously, if you change your name to Elon Musk, people will know it's not you unless it's really at Elon Musk. The thing that concerns me now, because, you know, I was really kind of heavy into the cryptocurrency like thing for a while, right? I remember talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, cryptocurrency is a huge thing. Like, there's always people out there giving suggestions and I suggest you don't ever take anyone's advice on Twitter seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who live and die by the word of quote unquote crypto gurus on Twitter. And the fact that people can kind of buy a checkmark to make themselves seem more authentic or more reliable, because you said earlier, right? The checkmark meant something. So people might not be as astute. They might not go into the verification history, like, is this person verified for real or did they pay for it? So they might, you know, people can really scam people out of money, because crypto is like there's a huge scam like modus on cryptocurrency. So many people lose money every day from scammers on crypto.
You know what though? I feel like if this is just an added thing that they thing that people need to do to get a check mark, then I kind of get it. Because you know how now, if you want a blue check mark on your Instagram or on your Twitter, you would just have to like show some proof, and then, you know, like put up some links of you, like for articles or if you're shown on TV and shit like that. And then on top of that, you have to pay. Then I kind of get it, because his point was to make Twitter profitable, right?
Yeah.
So if they did not, because I don't know, actually, if they didn't really get rid of that feature where, you know, people from Twitter would actually need to see proof that you are you, and that, you know, you're an authentic person, and that you're on news articles, people talk about you, and then on top of that you have to pay $8, I kind of get that move. Because he wants it to be profitable. But
and he wanted less ads.
Yeah. So, but if it's just the $8 so that you can get a blue check mark, then that's just crap.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it does come with additional features though, I think. The young Twitter blue or whatever, it comes with additional.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But if it's the same like process to get a blue check mark, and then on top of that, you have to pay $8. I kind of get it, because your point is to be profitable.
Yeah.
But if they do away with checking who you are and like getting news articles from you, YouTube videos from you, then what's the point, right?
So you're saying people who are already verified and they paid to keep it makes sense to you, but people who didn't have it prior should not, like, it would be better that they don't have the ability to pay $8 to get it, right? That's what I'm understanding, which I agree with, if that's what you're saying, by the way.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that I kind of get it. Na may $8
fee. $8.
Okay. Yeah, kasi nga, ang point niya is for it to be more profitable. But if the only way for you to get a check mark right now is to just pay $8, then that doesn't mean crap.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, right? We're on the same page there, yeah. If you already had it, for example, if you're verified on Instagram, for example, and you were asked to pay to keep that, like, verification, I would understand and maybe would be more likely to do it. I don't think I would ever pay for a check mark, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel earned, you know what I mean? So anyway, before we move on to that, there's just a little thing, a little funny story that came out of this. Doja Cat, you told me about this. So she actually changed her Twitter name recently to Christmas.
Christmas. And look, Doja Cat is just like a character. Yeah, I find her so funny.
She is. And because she changed her name on Twitter, she actually had like her account was like altered. Like she got stuck with the Twitter name Christmas. Like she couldn't go back to her old name.
And what's funny about this is she didn't know. Like her fans had to tell her, dude, that's like gonna be your Twitter account name forever. And then she's like, I don't want to be Christmas forever. Please help me. I made a mistake. And then tweeted to Elon Musk.
Yeah. And Elon Musk responded. He said working on it. So
yeah,
she'll probably get it back. But
yeah, I think it's just Christmas. Like, I do know that Elon Musk, obviously everybody knows that he's a businessman.
He's so weird.
But it's just that I feel like on some level, I think somebody still needs to, there still needs to be a check and balance.
Yeah.
When it comes to a singular person holding, you know what I mean? Like a big responsibility, like owning Twitter.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people use Twitter and not just normal people. You know what I mean? Like
it's used a lot in politics.
Yeah. Politics, journalists, and, you know, like you said, like in crypto. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I would feel more comfortable with this whole administrative change if, you know, na parang may check and balance pa rin. There's still like a body that says, like a group of people that says that, wait a minute, this mm-hmm. decision that you're doing, Elon Musk, isn't right. It's not good for them people.
Yeah. You can see a lot of Twitter people who were fired kind of speaking up and saying like, this is why what Elon Musk is doing is kind of,
yeah,
like really off.
Because we do know that social media can rewrite history. It can change people's minds. So with that kind of power and knowing what, you know, Elon Musk kind of believes in, sabihin natin anti-vaxxer siya or whatever, then he has that kind of power to kind of persuade people in his own agenda. Mm.
Ironic, but because he said he bought Twitter because he wanted freedom of speech to be like available, because he didn't believe that Twitter, he believed that Twitter was censoring freedom of speech.
Hmm.
So, you know, you think about however you want to interpret that, it's kind of strange that there's all these, I mean, I get it that why there's, like you said, there has to be checks and balances, mm-hmm. but you know, it's a power move, man. You know, there's something behind the scenes. I honestly believe he's saying that because, you know, it sounds like the right thing to say, but there's got to be some money moves going on in the background.
Definitely. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression is such a tricky thing nowadays, especially with social media.
Oh yeah,
because, you know, people use it as their defense all of the time, mm-hmm. for saying, you know, the most hurtful, hateful things online. And I'm just thinking that, yeah, I am actually, this is like one of the biggest things that we're talking about in class right now. And I'm writing a paper about it.
Are you talking about Kyrie Irving or no?
What do you mean?
Do you know Kyrie Irving?
I do.
Basketball player.
I'm just saying that I am all for freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say whatever you want. It's always been, you know, a thing that people practice. It's just that you cannot do away with the consequences of what you say.
Hell yeah.
I mentioned
Kyrie Irving because it's not a TT, but it was big news like the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. He made some comments that were anti-Semitic. He's a basketball player, right? And he got suspended for it. And then he like lost all his it's like Kanye West, right? Kanye West, same thing. The anti-Semitic comments, and he lost all his endorsements. And there are people who are on his side, on Kyrie's side, on Kanye's side. And it's just, if you look at what they said, it's so ignorant, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But then there's another side of the public that is fully behind them because they believe that they had the right to say those things because of freedom of speech. But like you said, there's consequences to saying stupid shit.
I know. And it's like that. It's so dangerous that, let's say, let's say Elon Musk in the future does say something, you know, really hateful or hurtful in the future, and then nobody can tell him otherwise because he owns Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there needs to be a separate group of people mm-hmm. that kind of checks and balances him because, right, you know, he's such a powerful man.
That's actually a great segue to our next DD, actually, yeah, if you think about it. So shall we wapow?
Wapow. I don't want to talk about this. This is too upsetting, but we will.
We will. Go ahead.
Okay. So this week it came out that a Manila District 6 representative, wait a minute. Let me just get it. I'm going to get it. Wait a minute. There we go. Manila District 6 Representative Bienvenido Abante Jr. files House Bill 5717, or the Act Recognizing, Defining, and Protecting the Rights of Heterosexuals. Okay, so I actually saw this on a post of Miss Mela Habihan on Instagram. And if you guys follow her, she is part of the LGBTQIA plus community and a big icon in the Philippines as well. So this bill is seeking to protect the rights of heterosexuals in practicing their religion and expressing their beliefs on homosexuals. And right now it has ruffled some feathers. Okay. So it's also known as the Heterosexual Act of 2002. It was actually filed back in October 26, but all of the papers were just released this week and it just created a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. Right now, the bill, according to the bill, heterosexual individuals will be given rights that allow them to practice and protect their religious beliefs and profession without any interference. And this is, it's kind of like in the same vein when we talk about freedom of expression, right? Because it gives them the right to freely express their views about homosexualities and other sexual orientations according to their religious beliefs, practices, and biblical principles. And this is according to the Philippine Star. It may be done privately or publicly, verbally or in writing, and through print or broadcast media or through social media platforms.
So just to kind of understand, or maybe mm-hmm. like to shed some light. So the bill is proposing that if someone were to break this, that there would be Abante wants a fine and imprisonment mm-hmm. for violators of the proposed law. What exactly would a violator do? Keep people from speaking about it? Is that, would it be a violation? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, a violation would be saying,
you can't talk about this. Like if someone says you can't talk about homosexuality, yeah, then they are in violation of the bill. Mm-hmm. That's what my understanding is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I think this bill created a lot of chaos in people's minds because it's just such a complicated thing to wrap your head around, because we already know that these rights are already in place. People can say whatever they want.
Actually, yeah.
Right?
So he's just trying to keep people from preventing that, I guess. Like, that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm. So apparently, if you violated, you know, HB number 5717, you can be sentenced to a jail term of 5 to 7 years and a fine not less than 100,000 pesos, not more than 200,000 pesos.
Yeah. It's silly, though. Like
yeah.
What? I'm trying to understand, like, because his view of creating this bill is to protect mm-hmm. heterosexuals from, mm-hmm. but from what?
from what exactly? What?
Because who do they need protection from? Is my question. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Actually, in one of the articles, Ms. Mela Habihan already kind of like, they already kind of like, parang na-propose nila yung idea na yun na, are they actually oppressed? You know what I mean? Like, are heterosexuals already oppressed?
Nah.
Because,
I don't think
so. Because actually in Gabriela, the party list already says that individuals who identify themselves as heterosexuals already have their rights protected. It's already under the Philippine Constitution. You can actually express all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I feel like, are they being protected from the consequences of the things that they say against homosexuals.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
LGBTQIA because that just doesn't make sense.
There's one Twitter user here in the CNN Philippines article, Eva_Liquin, who tweeted, Benny Abante is trying to protect the rights of the oppressor. So oppressor being heterosexual people, right? Mm. Who are anti-whatever, right? And not allies. What is there to protect when you have all the privilege? This is a bill to empower discrimination and bigotry. Ito ang tunay na immoral at hindi makatao, which is true. Like, yeah, what do they need protection from?
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, right? Like, it's just, it's such a dangerous precedent because it will just incite, or it will just give encouragement to people to spew hate.
Because they're protected.
Because they're protected.
Right, right.
So whenever they do express their disapproval of the LGBTQIA plus community, and somebody gets harmed, you know, it actually creates, you know, like crime, whatever, criminal acts. It actually incites criminal acts. Then they cannot be fined or even, you know what I mean? Like, walang consequences when it comes to that. When pag ang effect ng sinabi mo is actually people acting on it and hurting other people physically,
it would actually scare people from bringing repercussions to the people who spew these hateful things. Because if my understanding is correct, if anybody is saying like, hey, you can't say that stuff, but because they're protected by this, they could actually have legal action taken against them.
Exactly.
Which is crazy. Because I don't know, it's crazy.
It's so crazy. It's just that I think talagang nami-misconstrue yung, let's say, the SOGI bill. Na parang, you know, these bills that call for equality, they're not taking away from you. If you are heterosexual and let's say ma-approve yung SOGI bill and there really is a law that protects, you know, like, you know, discrimination on everything, on your age, your sexuality, who you are, that does not take away from you. You have to remember that. Diba? I think because people think that pag nagkaroon ng SOGI bill, ako wala na akong rights. Of course not. That's not what it is. Mm-mm. It just protects a certain group of people that are oppressed right now.
Yeah.
Right?
There is something in this article that I have. So it says here, under this bill, the proposed bill by Abante, heterosexuals are barred from threatening the LGBTQIA community for exercising their rights. Mm. I mean, that seems like a good thing, right? Like they're not allowed to threaten the community for exercising their rights. But I don't understand, like, why, you know what I mean? Like, why is that included there? If it's like, I'm trying
but
to think.
It's already practiced.
It's already practiced. So
yeah,
I don't know. It feels like they added that to kind of make it make sense to people.
Right? When in fact, it's actually parang gusto lang talaga nila na towards, you know, the LGBTQIA community.
Yeah.
Pero parang ina-envelop nila in something more complicated.
Yeah. So if you read the whole, like, you can actually take a look at the proposed bill, like the act. It's on CNN. Actually, just Google it. Just make sure you go to a reliable source, and you can read all of the, I don't know, like the, what do you call it in a bill? Like sections that represent like what this actually means. And it's still a little confusing. You know, it's still very confusing. I read through it earlier, and they show the penalties for violating it, but it's so general in terms of what you could do to violate this that they could really punish you for a number of things, in my opinion. It just
actually it's a different entity from the actual representative who filed the bill. So Representative Benny Abante released an explanatory note on the House Bill 5717. And he says, any gender, gender identity, or gender expression outside of God's creation is man's choice and creation. If we allow these bills to become a law, these groups of precious souls will be driven away and away from God until they are gone too far that they could no longer recognize him or his call. The best way to avoid a perceived discrimination is to be what God created us to be. And for me, this is like, parang it's a different conversation altogether, because this is the actual representative or the actual government official who represents, you know, Manila District
Manila
6.
District 6,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, they're part of, like, they're in power. And if that's what they believe, that is so dangerous. You know, kumbaga parang na-encourage yung mga tao who kind of like think the same way na parang, oh, somebody in power kind of thinks the same way as me, so I can spew hate.
I mean, look at, to kind of close off, section 5, letter B of the thing, if you read it, says, attempting to prohibit, abridge, or otherwise interfere with the free exercise and enjoyment by heterosexuals of any of their rights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's so general.
Yeah.
Like, so you're saying that if like a man and a woman get married and then you disapprove of the marriage for whatever, I don't think anyone would do that, but like, you could get fined for saying, like, posting a meme about maybe like celebrities getting married, like a male and female celebrity getting married, and you don't agree because they're toxic, for example, but that could be misconstrued as a free exercise definitely for heterosexual. You know what I mean? It's so general that it's not good. I can't think of it. It's not good, man.
Yeah. It's also so confusing to me because it kind of like, they kind of like expect that everybody believes the same way as them. You have to remember that, you know, it's a religion, and not everybody in the Philippines have the same religion.
Yeah.
Now, parang it's so weird to me that it like they want it to be in the constitution, like they want it to be a law that people follow. When in fact, hindi naman lahat ng tao in the Philippines are Roman Catholic, let's say, who believes in the same thing as Representative Benny Abante, right?
Pastor Benny, he's a pastor too.
Pastor too. I mean,
I'm not saying that religion had anything to do with it, but I think religion had something to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's like, diba, parang that's why there's a separation of, you know, the church and the state.
Church and state, indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So to everybody in Manila District 6, namely barangays 587 to 648 and 829 to 905 in North Paco, Pandacan, San Miguel, Santa Ana, and Santa Mesa.
Prepared, huh?
You guys have the right to contact your representative. You can email them, call their office. They actually should get back to you because they represent you. You know what I mean? You are there to check on them. And actually express your opinion na parang, yo, that does not represent us well, dude.
True.
Yeah, because that's true. I think that's what people kind of forget, that the government officials in their district are actually subject to them. Na parang sumasagot sila sa inyo. So you can actually call them out and email them, have a conversation with them. And I think it will make a difference.
Yeah, hopefully you can get through, because I could imagine how much of a nightmare it might be to even reach out to someone like that. But it's worth a try.
I remember in college, I had to like contact the governor. And they said that, and they said that the office hours is like at 11 p.m. And I'm like, when? And I'm like, how? What do you mean the office hours is at 11 p.m.? I'm confused. So sometimes they make it really difficult for you, but you know, there's always email and the phone.
Okay. All right. Shall we wapow to our last TT?
Yeah. Wapow.
Right. Wapow. Let's talk about John Amores, who is a basketball player for Jose Rizal University. And during a game between JRU and the College of St. Benilde during the NCAA Season 98 men's basketball tournament, during the fourth quarter of the game, the game came to a stop because John Amores, a player for JRU, went from his side of his bench, like with his team, ran across to the other side, to the opposing bench, because of apparently some actions that were taken over there. Some say that a fan riled him up, like maybe gave him a bad finger or whatever. But either way, he was really pissed off and he ran to the other side of the court towards the CSB bench and then just started throwing punches left and right. If you see the video, it's kind of incredible how many players he hits.
Yeah.
Like in the span of like 10 seconds, like he landed four clean hits on players. And I feel so bad. There's one CFB player who is like under the basket. I don't know their names, unfortunately, but he just got clocked out of nowhere, bro.
Like as in blind punches talaga. Na parang if he could just hit anybody, like he could have hit any of his teammates too.
Yeah.
Alam mo yon, it's just like blind rage at that point. And you could see it in their in his actions. And actually, it caused serious harm to a lot of the CSB players. Like they were actually in the hospital with like, you know, like damages to their jaw, their cheek and everything. Yeah. Like some people had to go like through operations and it's really serious.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not the first time that he did it, right?
No, he actually had an altercation with a UP player earlier in the year. And that was also pretty bad because the player actually kind of filed something against him because it was like an unwarranted punch during a, you know, because basketball is a physical game, right? It's a contact sport. And there's bound to be, you know, pushing and shoving, but punching should never, ever take place in the game. And it was like really for this one, the JRU CSB game, it was a blowout game. Like CSB was winning by, I don't know, by maybe like 15, 20 points in the fourth. No, 20 points. They were up like 20 points in the fourth quarter. So there's probably not catching up from that. And Amores was having a really bad game too. I think he made one shot out of 12 attempts. So he must have, he was already frustrated. So anyway, the aftermath of this is that he has been handed a ban from the NCAA. There was a statement released. And also JRU has suspended him from Scholastic activities too, which is... Well, I think, what do you think of the punishment? Him being obviously suspended by the league makes sense, right? Yeah. Suspended. But he didn't get banned. Like, I'm surprised they didn't ban him for life.
For life.
Yeah. It's an indefinite suspension.
Which means that he can go back.
It's indefinite, it says.
Okay.
So indefinite leaves the door open for maybe he could appeal. I doubt it. But instead of like, being firm and saying lifetime ban, they said indefinite suspension.
Yeah.
But also from his school, Jose Rizal University released a statement. You can go read it online, but it basically says they've always supported the objectives of the NCAA to promote sportsmanship, camaraderie, whatever. And in line with this mission, the university does not condone violence in any form. So he was suspended.
I think it's fair. Honestly, I think it's fair. Because, you know, he is a representative of the school. You know, the name of the school was on his jersey. So it's just, I think it's fair that they kind of want to, like, detach themselves from his actions.
Do you think it's because he went on a rampage? And because there have been physical altercations. Like, there have been fights in basketball are nothing new. Like, throwing punches are nothing new.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But do you think it's because... he was able to hit like multiple people? Because I feel like, I mean, this is just my take on someone who's watched basketball for a long time and has seen a lot of on-court altercations in pro sports, college sports, as well as in like in real life or whatever. But if it was like a one-on-one scuffle, I don't think he would have been suspended from school. Maybe obviously from the game, like from from the league, he might have been suspended. But I think it's the fact that he was able to land four punches on people that kind of made
the magnitude of what he did. I mean, like, it just makes sense with the punishment that he got. And I don't know, because like you said, hindi naman bago yung, you know, throwing punches in a basketball game. It's just that I think that the NCAA, you know, yung SBP, Samahan ng Basketball ng Pilipinas, and his school kind of like It kind of sets an example, obviously, na parang in the future, when athletes want to do this, this is what you'll get.
Yeah. And he also, so I mean, like we mentioned, he has a history, like he already did it with against a UP player.
Yeah.
But so
it kind of sets an example na parang for future athletes, you know, you have to act accordingly. And there is such a thing as sportsmanship that you kind of have to have if you're in a league like this and it's televised, you know, little kids watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Families watch this. So there are rules and regulations when it comes to that and a punishment that comes with it if you do these violent acts, especially broadcasted on, you know, television. You know, you will have to face something. You'll have to face the consequences. So,
do you think that he should, because it's an indefinite ban. Some people are calling for a lifetime ban. Yeah. Do you think he should be given a chance in the future, given he does the right things, gets, you know, anger management, whatever, he does the right apologies? Because to be honest, I believe that he is still redeemable. I know that's so weird.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a basketball player formerly known as, I don't know if he changed his name back, but his name was Ron Artest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his name to Meta World Peace after but Ron Artest started one of the biggest brawls in the NBA called the Malice at the Palace. You might've heard of it between the Detroit Pistons and the Indiana
Pacers. I was reading about it earlier.
Right. And so basically he got banned for multiple seasons and then he came back. After, you know, going through, he apologized to the people that he punched. He actually, I think he even became friends with the main guy that he went after. And he became actually a pretty respectable, like in terms of his personality. But he had one incident where he elbowed a player. But he's overall his, like, he ended up being respected rather than villainized for his whole life. And I think that was pretty cool, you know. But he got his problems because he was drinking alcohol like at halftime when he was playing early in his career. Like he had problems, but he addressed them. So if John Morris were to address his problems, do you think he should be given a second chance?
I think so, especially with how young he is. He's in college.
He has a kid. I looked it up on his Instagram.
Oh, really?
Which is crazy because before he went private, his daughter's Instagram, he has an Instagram for his daughter. Because he already turned off his comments, but I went to his daughter's Instagram and there are some fucking weirdos commenting on his daughter's Instagram, you know, bashing his dad, which I understand because maybe they can't comment on the John Morris's page, but that's
low. That's a different conversation.
That's fucking lowbrow bullshit.
I was about to say actually that he did deserve what he got, you know, getting suspended and stuff. But I don't think the things that people say about him from that one incident is fair.
Yeah.
Because definitely people can change. And especially in the sphere of sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
he just has to get checked, man. Like his anger management and like I don't know what steps would need to be taken. Because maybe he has deeper issues, deeper rooted issues. Like he could be, who knows? He could be into drugs. I don't know. I'm just saying like there's so many things that could have caused this along with anger. It's obvious there's anger issues, but there might be more to the story that he has to address. But if he does, then I think he, not anytime soon, but down the line, it would be, I don't know. Maybe I would see it differently if I was one of the players that got punched.
Definitely.
But as a
I'm sure like people, like the people who got punched are thinking that
never
you'd be banned for life, never, like ever in basketball.
I would understand it too. But on the moment, but
Pero na feel ko naman that in the future, obviously he will have to face these consequences that people won't want to play with him.
Yeah, he ruined what was potentially be a, you know, like a what do you call it? A career for him.
Yeah.
Like because I don't know much about basketball, like local basketball, but he was recruited by like UAAP schools, which means that because I think UAAP is more of a, in terms of versus NCAA, UAAP has a higher skill level. My understanding is like UAAP is more, has more viewership because it's like the higher of the two, although NCAA is still really good. But basically he was being recruited to join like UAAP team, which means he's good, which means that he has talent, which means that he could have probably gone pro And pro players, you know, they make decent money. So he is ruined his chance. Well, he ruined, at least for now, he's ruined his chance at kind of following that dream.
Yeah. Also, sayang lang, whenever, you know what, for me, like whenever fights break out in basketball games, especially like in the local basketball scene, I mean, Philippine basketball scene, I feel like, you know, it just kind of like lowers the quality of basketball because obviously people are there to see a basketball game and not a brawl.
Dude, we were a disgrace like, when we fought Australia. Do you remember that?
Exactly.
Yung that parang, show was parang, bananas.
We don't want to put like a negative light on Filipino basketball players because definitely there's so much talent in there. But if it is painted in a negative light because of these instances, then it just does not serve, you know, the basketball community, the sport in the Philippines, right? Which is such a big sport in our country.
It's the biggest sport in the country.
It is the biggest sport. So, actually, you know what? Natawa ko because I saw this one Facebook post or something that says matutuwa ba kayo pag sa boxing pag nagkaasaran sila bigla silang mag basketball or something. Yung parang binaliktad. And I'm like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Right. I mean, gets ko kasi there is an entertainment value in basketball and there is some entertainment value when things get heated up, but to that point where there are, you know, like an actual criminal activity that goes on. Because that's, you know, diba? That's assault.
They should just do it like hockey. Like, you know, in hockey that like fights are illegal. No, like in hockey, you can go one-on-one like fist fight. They stop the game.
Illegal?
Go on YouTube and look up hockey fights. Like they stop the game and then everyone watches two players punch each other.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, I mean, maybe they're wearing padding and helmets and whatever. So I guess it would be different because it's bare, but they should just, like that would be so crazy. That would be so crazy if they implemented that in basketball.
Ano, bugbugan na lang.
Oh, di ba?
No, kasi ako, I recognize it naman. Sometimes it really is entertaining. You know what I mean?
I love seeing heated confrontation and people and players talking trash to each other.
Yeah.
But then they bring it in the game. Like they fight like maybe there's a little shoving, but the fighting is done with their mm-hmm. game, not with their fists.
Exactly. Because when that happens, the game will stop. The entertainment will stop. So it does not serve anybody. Right? It doesn't benefit anybody. Even the person who watches just gets upset. So, you know.
But it is a, I mean, I don't know. I've watched that video a lot of times. I watched the Malice in the Palace a lot. I watched the Philippine versus Australia a lot of times. So, I mean, there's some truth in what you're saying. Like, it doesn't add value. But at the same time, in the moment, it really, like, you can't stop watching. It's like watching an accident in slow-mo, you know? So, anyway, John Amores, you know, hopefully he gets his shit together. And hopefully the players at CSB are fine. Because there were suspensions. Oh, by the way, just kind of the aftermath. You can look it up. But there were players from both teams that were suspended for being involved in the fight because you're not allowed to leave your bench during an altercation. And if you leave your bench area, that counts as a suspension, like a one game suspension for teams. So a lot of players on both sides were suspended as well. So hopefully CSB can kind of handle that because they, you know, they still have to play their season out. JRU also has to play, but you know what I mean? Like, so good luck to both teams, but shout out to CSB for kind of weathering this crazy incident. Any more thoughts on this, Rika?
That's it, man.
All right, shall we? Wapow. We have last one. Some odd.
Diba?
Odd diba. And we have this one from the founder of Oculus. Do you know what Oculus is, Rika Jiu?
I've heard it before. Okay. Wait.
Google this it. Google images it, but basically Oculus is a VR headset. It's it was actually sold to like Facebook and stuff in like prior. Yeah. So the owner, the founder of Oculus, who was later fired by Facebook, by the way, he created a virtual reality headset. And get this, this is the odd part. It's actually the crazy part. That can kill people in real life if they die within the game that they're playing with the virtual reality headset. Boom.
How?
He said that there are explosives set in the headset that if you were to lose the game, it would detonate and kill you.
Wait a minute. If you're playing it in your home, it can just, how does it like detonate? Like there's a bomb?
There's a bomb. It will kill you. Like literally it will kill you.
It's not, how is this legal?
No,
I know.
But let me just read the, let me read the story. Okay. So the name of the CEO or the name of the founder of Oculus, his name is Palmer Luckey. He was the original creator of the Oculus headset, which is now like kind of the, what Meta / Facebook is kind of using for their metaverse. Like that's what they're, that's kind of like their key into the metaverse. That's what they're using the headset to get into the metaverse. But he created Oculus and now he's created this thing where if you play a game, you can connect it to, like, he can program this new headset that he's made so that in the game, if you were to lose, you would die. And he said that he was inspired to create this gaming device because of an anime, which I've never seen, called Sword Art Online. So Sword Art Online is an anime show where people die when they play in the game. It's not an explosion, but it kind of like shrinks, like something happens, like there's like a, in the characters die in the game when they when they die. So if you've ever seen Ready Player One, it's kind of like that, but you die in real life. In Ready Player One, they don't die in real life, but it's kind of like that. So they put on the headset and he's made it so that you can actually die because he wants to, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because he says you raise the stakes to the maximum level and force people to fundamentally rethink how they interact with the virtual world and the players inside it. Only the threat of serious consequences can make a game feel real to you and every other person in the game. That's what he wrote. That's what Luckey wrote. Palmer.
Well,
Luckey
he's
wrote.
Encouraging people not to buy the game now.
But you know what? I bet you there is like a little sect of the VR gaming community that is down for this.
That's just.
I bet there's some weirdos out there that are like,
oh yeah, definitely.
The thrill seekers. There's got to be people who are there's a niche market for this. I'm pretty sure.
Like, I mean, like, there are a bunch of stuff that people still do, even if there is a serious threat of death. You know, that person who climbed a rock and let them film him. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, the one in Yosemite.
The guy.
Free Solo.
Yeah, Free Solo, definitely. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, it's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea. It's just that it's so crazy that somebody actually has the balls to create a game like that and to actually, like, you know what I mean, like give that idea to people, and now might be people kind of like want it to happen. Hopefully, it doesn't get released.
And he said that because in the anime, how people die in the anime is like some microwaves kill you. Like there's some waves that are emitted from the headset that kill you, but he couldn't emulate that, so he just decided to like make it explode.
Right.
And he said that it's just a piece of office art for now. That's what he said. But he said, as far as I know, the first nonfiction example of a VR device that can kill the user, that's the one that he's made. But he also said, here's the chilling part, it won't be the last. I don't know whether that means he's going to create another one or there are other people already working on something similar, which is Black Mirror-esque in a nutshell.
So definitely he has he's kind of like creating a murder device.
But it's not. Is it murder if you die?
If it's your own doing?
If it's your own doing, like if you sign up for it?
No, because, but still, he has to have some sort of responsibility with...
I mean, what if he gets people to sign a waiver? He's not responsible, right? If people are willing to take the risk.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
It's such a big issue because it is true that it is not his doing, but the game itself is his doing.
Well, actually, it's just the headset. I don't know if there's any game. He didn't create a game.
The headset itself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, is his doing. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like somebody has the knowledge to create something that can kill like a lot of people, potentially kill a lot of people. Obviously somebody out there would have to stop them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I get it. But people to play this would have to willingly do it, right? Like, no one would put this on if they don't want to die, or at least don't want to. I don't know. But I get what you mean. Yeah, like, if it didn't exist, then it wouldn't be a threat. I feel what you're saying.
If it didn't exist, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a threat.
But then again, like we said, there are a lot of things out there that people still do. Say rock climbing.
So it's
that, I mean, you know, poses the threat of death.
Yeah. He did say one thing though. Like the one thing that I do understand from his statement about why he created it is that people will only really take the virtual world seriously if there are serious consequences. And I actually agree with that. Have you ever tried virtual reality? In any shape or form?
I remember going to HistoryCon where you go into a tent and then it's an empty tent, but when you put on the VR goggles, there are like spiders and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
But you know that you're seeing it, right? Like, you know that like nothing can really harm you.
When you're in that space, you kind of like forget a little bit. You're fully immersed.
Okay.
Yeah, you still get startled. You know what I mean?
Okay. Because for me, when I play a game, like when I've tried VR, it's immersive because some games are really immersive because it's really well done. But at the end of the day, if I were to go into the metaverse and like meet with other people, I'd know it's just temporary. Like, I wouldn't dedicate a big part of my like time being in there unless there was something meaningful.
Actually, that's what's dangerous about it, because if there is that feature that you can actually die in real life, and you thinking ng mga tao is, well, this is just a game, I can do whatever I want, you know what I mean? Edi diba? That's so dangerous. Right?
Yeah, agreed. So
would you?
No.
I'm just saying
that there is some truth to him saying that to really get into like the metaverse, there has to be something that really holds you, that really brings you in there. That's what I'm trying to, that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, in Ready Player One, if you ever watched that movie, it was like,
I did.
There was like, if you could get a key or something that only one person could have and you'd like own the whole company. Like, I could see that being a thing. Like, I think virtual reality would only succeed in real life now if there is some benefit to doing it all the time. Or at least that will keep you in
there. Here's my question. Why do you need it to be in that level?
Because it's just a game.
But then again,
it's adding reality to virtual reality. You know, it's adding the reality aspect for me in it.
For me, kasi parang why would you need that type of aspect in virtual reality when you already have reality?
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. But some people really are like, some people are more accustomed to being online. And, you know, I could imagine a world. I mean, you've seen Black Mirror episodes, right? Yeah. There is a big portion of the planet that is more comfortable with online interactions.
Yeah.
Like
it
that
really
one
is knowledge is power and power is dangerous. Yeah,
like Striking Vipers, you know, Striking Vipers episode in Black Mirror where the guys go into the video game and they become the avatars and then they like start sleeping with each other.
Yeah.
But in real life, like they are like, they're both guys.
And they're not attracted to each other.
Yeah. So it kind of, you know, that's what I mean by like reality. Like, it has to be that immersive.
That is so interesting to talk about. I'm sure there would be people out there who would be willing to do it just to step up the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Parang, I'm bored with playing just random games. Mm-hmm. I want the real threat of my life hanging.
Your balls would be like, you know, when you play, I don't know if you've ever played an intense video game. Your hands start sweating. Your hands Either your hands get cold, or you start jittering because you're like so nervous.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine that? But like that level of, you could actually die. So anyway, any more thoughts on this?
That's it, man.
All right, that's it. Wapow, we are done. Wapow, for this mix, a long mix.
I know.
Kind of make it up to you guys because we've been MIA for a little bit. But on that note, please do listen to our sponsored mixes. We had one that came out this week or last week. It was a Tres Leches with Dr. Eric Mendoza, where we talked about diabetes and
yes,
diabetes and then, awareness.
Yep. And then you guys can also listen to us talk about holiday gifting hacks.
What you would do if you won the lotto.
Yeah. And I know like a lot of people are already getting ready for the holidays. So you guys can listen to that. And there is a chance to win something for you, a prize. Yeah.
50,000 pesos worth of gift cert, courtesy of Sun Life. So go listen to our Sun Talks on Demand mixes as well. And yeah, that's it. Anything you want to plug? 1C? Anything new with 1C?
Yeah. Visit 1C. We have a lot of like exciting partnerships coming up and freebies and shit. So go check it out. And that's it, man.
Yeah.
How about
me? Listen to my solo podcast. If you want to hear me rant about the escape room in detail, I went into detail, bro.
Damn.
I was so mad.
An hour and a half.
Dude, I literally ranted for like 30 minutes about like one clue that was given to me.
Oh my God.
Okay. Anyway, extra song.
Bye.
Leets.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.